Baruchim HaBoim, everybody. Welcome to our Monday night Parsha class. This week's Parsha is Parshas Pekudei. Normally, Pekudei and Vayakel, last week's Parsha, Vayakel, Pekudei, always go together. Except, of course, when there's a leap year. The Parshas are separate in order that at the end of the cycle, we all finish the Parshas together and we celebrate it with Simchas Torah. Naturally, therefore, this week is Pekudei alone, and we will discuss this in a moment. I'd like to just tell you that today's date is Chav Zayin Adar, Adar Aleph, Tavshin Pei Beis, corresponding with the English calendar of February 28th, 2022. I'd like to just to give you a few reminders. This week is Rosh Chodesh, Thursday and Friday, at Rosh Chodesh Ador Beis. We will begin saying Yal V'Yava Wednesday night. And for those who will realize that Tachnun by Mincha time will be omitted because it's right before Rosh Chodesh. And it's also called Shabbos Chazak. Why is it called Shabbos Chazak? Because we're going to complete Sefer Shemos and say out loud, Chazak, Chazak, V'niz Chazek. So now let's begin Parshas Pekudei. Parshas Pekudei begins with the following Pesukim. Eile Pekudei HaMishkan. This is the accounting of the Mishkan, Mishkan HaEdus, the Mishkan of Testimony, Asher Pukat al Pi Moshe, which was accounted under the authority of Moshe, Avodas HaLevim, the work of the Levim, B'yad Yisoma ben Aharon HaKohen, was put in the hand, in the authority of Yisoma, the son of Aharon HaKohen. U'Betzalel ben Uri ben Chur Lamati Yehuda, and the construction was supervised by Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, to Shevet Yehuda. Asa is kol ashetiva Hashem es Moshe. He had done everything what Hashem had commanded Moshe. And his assistant, the Itoyan with him, Ohaliyah ben Achisamach, was Aliyah, the son of Achisamach, Lamate Dan, to the tribe of Dan, Chorosh v'Choshev, a craftsman and a professional at his work, Veroy came, and a weaver, Batcheles, in blue wool, Ubargoman in purple wool, Ubetzalash Hashani in red thread, Ubashesh and in linen. So the Parsha begins talking about how important it was to take an account of everything that was donated in order to be able to show the Jewish people that there is an accountability in what was collected. The rule is, whoever is responsible is accountable. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the leader, the most respected, the one who is our Navi, our emissary to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not above the nature of people who would look to accuse Moshe for doing something inappropriate. Moshe Rabbeinu at that time became extremely wealthy, and he became wealthy from the chips of the Luchos, which was not really so public knowledge, but he was very wealthy as a result of it. And he wanted to be above anyone's suspicion. He counted everything in public. Everything was known. There was nothing hidden. And every last shekel is enumerated in the beginning of Parshas Pekudei. But to give you a total picture, this picture of building the Mishkan goes back to Vayakel. Vayakel is the beginning, the construction of the Mishkan, and continuing on to Pekudei, where the garments of the Kohanim were put together, and all of this finally was accounted for, and the Parsha talks about this at the very beginning. Now, Rashi, at the beginning, that talks about Bezalel being the one who was chosen to be the supervisor over the construction, over the Mishkan. Rashi says something very interesting, which is worth mentioning. On the word Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur, Lamati Yehuda Asa es kol ashetziva Hashem es Moshe. He did everything what Hashem commanded Moshe. Rashi comments, what does it mean, ashetziva Osa Moshe? Everything that Moshe commanded. It doesn't say just commanded, but it said the word es kol Asher. El kol ashetziva Hashem es Moshe. Every little detail, says Rashi. Afilu devarim shelo amalo rabo, even thou, those things that his Rebbe Moshe did not tell him, his kima daito, his mind coincided with what Moshe intended. Lama shenema lamoshe v'sinai, that which was told to Moshe on Sinai. Ki Moshe tziva lebetzala lasers techila kelim. Moshe at the beginning in Vayakel told Bezalel to make the kelim, make the vessels. Va'achakach Mishkan, and then afterwards construct the Mishkan. Omalo Bezalel said to Moshe, his Rebbe, min haka olam, the normal procedure, the custom of the world is lasos techilo bayis. You first make a house. V'yachakach made some kelim besocho, and then afterwards you put the vessels inside it. Amalai, so Rashi continues explaining the dialogue. Said Moshe Rabbeinu, kach shamati, so I heard, mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the mouth of Hashem. Amar Moshe said, b'tzel kel hayisa, I see you are in the shadow of Hashem. It's true that I told you that to construct the Aron, the Ark, first, but you constructed the Mishkan first, because that is what really Hashem told me to do. Ki vaday kach tzivu li HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is certainly what Hashem told me, had commanded me on Har Sinai. V'chein osa, and so it happened. HaMishkan techila, the Mishkan was constructed first, ve'achakach osa kelim. So right away Moshe is telling Bezalel that I see you have already heavenly inspiration. I never told you to do the Mishkan first, but you understood the order of the right order of putting the Mishkan together was not first make the Ark, the Orem, but first make the building outside it, and then put the Kelim. Now the Penine Das, the Rosh Hashiva, the Tulsa Rosh Hashiva, Hagoyen Rebbe Yon Meir Blochzik, Hatzadik Gevrocha, and the Sefer Penine Das, ask a very logical question. Why was it? If he heard this, Rashi mentioned before, Kach Shamati, Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is exactly what I really heard from Hashem. So why did he not tell that to Bezalel right away? Why did he not tell Bezalel to first make the Mishkan, and then make the Aron? Why did he invert the whole order? What was the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu inverted it? So the Penine Das is a very important statement. He wanted to drive across a very important message to Bezalel, that even though that the normal way of constructing and doing things in this world. You first build a house and then you put the vessels inside it. However, I wanted to make it very clear, abundantly clear, that the purpose of the Mishkan is not the building. The purpose of the Mishkan is the Aron, is the Torah. It's a place where Hashem's holiness has to reside. I do not want you to think otherwise. I want you to know that is the main thing, and that is where Hashem's holiness rests. And the purpose of the Mishkan is that Hashem's Shekhinah should be among us. And I wanted you to get that message. And the vessels that come, like the menorah and the shulchan and the mizbeach, all holy artifacts, holy, holy vessels, is to help maintain the Shekhinah, to maintain the holiness. The main thing is the Shekhinah. The main thing is Hashem's presence, and the building is secondary. I see you understood. You understood what Hashem told me, but I wanted to rivet the message that the holiest thing in the Mishkan is the Aron, and I wanted you to build the Mishkan with this intent in mind. Actually speaking, the Ramban says something similar, that this is actually the main objective of the Mishkan, and therefore the Aron was mentioned right away, and then after Bezalel understood how this was supposed to. Now, the Sefer Be'er Mechokek. The Sefer Be'er Mechokek is by Rav Moto Chaim Mordechai Katz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. It tells us Rosh Yeshiva, who actually was the founder of the Chicago Tells Yeshiva, where I myself learned and was able to be privileged to learn there for 12 years. In his Sefer, Be'er Mechokek, brings down a very important thing. He says it's a strange thing that we know that the Torah presses upon us that after everything was put together, after the Mishkan was built, then the garments were woven and created and put together, then all of a sudden the parasha starts again talking about the Mishkan. In Perek Lamedes, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, it starts off all over again. V'yaviu es ha-mishkan el Moshe. They brought the Mishkan to Moshe, el ha-oil, that's called Caleb, everything, all the vessels, everything, right? And then the whole part finishes on Pasuk Membeis, k'chol ha-shetiva Hashem es Moshe, and everything was done as Hashem commanded Moshe, Cain, also so they all did, B'nai Yisrael, es kol ha-avoda. Vayar Moshe is called Hamalacha. He concludes by saying, "You saw all of the work done precisely. Vine Asu Isa Kashitiva Hashem, and it was done as Hashem commanded. Kainasu, so it was. Vayivarachos and Moshe. Moshe blessed them." Question: it mentions so many times Kashitiva Hashem is Moshe. Every time they did what they had to do. It says, again, the words, they had done it just as Hashem commanded Moshe. What was the necessity to mention it again? The parasha mentioned the word Kashativa Hashem as Moshe 18 times. What's the point behind the Kasha Asa? They've done it. Mentioning it again so many times. What is behind the kavana of the Torah mentioning this, and what does the Torah want to impart? So the Sephorina does mention a very interesting insight. On the words, Kain Asu, so they did. says the Sifur, I'm quoting it right from the Sefer Be'er Mechokek, but also Haseder Atzmo, in that very specific order, also Ha'umonim Me'asiyasam, the workers did their work precisely the way they were told. Umevi'i Ha'mishkan Be'avasam, and they brought the Mishkan exactly to its place, and they fulfill their requirement. This concept, the Torah is telling us, explains the Sifurna, that the building of the Mishkan was not just a construction. It wasn't just put together with wood, covered with gold, and with all the other necessary elements. The Torah is telling us over here, we have to understand that it was done with the precise order, and this is how it was done. Now, Seder, order in doing something, is extremely important. On the surface, the first thing, something that's done with order, tells us that, you know, if you do things in the right order, then you can save time. You don't make mistakes. Everything is done precisely, which is obvious and which is correct. However, this is beyond that meaning. Here, doing things beseder has a much deeper meaning over here. It means over here that they did it in accordance with the precise intention and with the right specifications that the Torah wanted, and they were punctilious. They were exact with the order of doing it as doing a mitzvah. It wasn't just getting it done. You know, you can do something, and even if it's not in the right order, but ultimately, you know, you want the object to be done correctly, or you want it to come out correctly. So even if you do something not correctly, but the order would be not the same, but the product would be the same, and it'd be just as nice. That would be for things other than doing a mitzvah. But the Mishkan was done precisely in an order, because building the Mishkan was building the sanctuary of Hashem that had to be in the right order. Now, we have to be very aware that, you know, when anything that we do with importance requires order. Anything physical, right? You know, anything, if we want to do anything productive, there must be a seder. There must be some specific order. Well, you build a building. You have to have blueprints. There has to be an order. There has to first build the building with a plan, with a foundation. Then after the building is actually a physical building is put up, then you can talk about the interior decorators, and then you can start adding other hardware and things like that. Everything has an order. When you bake a cake or put together a recipe, there has to be an order. If you're not going to follow the order, it'll not come out. Everything in life has an order. You want to learn a new trade? Everything has an order. You start learning the very, very basics, and slowly, slowly, you get to become more familiar with the item until you become a professional. You want to be a musician. You have to first learn the simple, basic notes, and you have to first start with the basic. Learn about a whole note, a half note, a quarter note, a 16th note. You learn about sharps and flats. You don't learn about it all of a sudden at the beginning. Everything has an order. Same thing, Lahavdil, is doing mitzvahs. When you're doing mitzvahs, everything has an order. There has to be a seder. Aren't we familiar that the night of Pesach is called the Seder night? Why is it called the Seder night? It has an order. If you want to do the mitzvahs correctly, you want to drink the four cups of wine in its proper time, you want to do all the mitzvahs of eating the matzah and the morah and everything when you're supposed to and eat your afikoman on time, there has to be an order. When you're giving maisa, you know, a tenth of your crop, there is an order. There's first truma gedayla. Then you give maisa rishon that goes to the levi. Then it's truma's maisa that the levi has to give a part of that to the kohen. Then there's maisa sheni, and then there's maisa ani. There are different maisas. You can't mix things up. If you mix things up, you ruin the whole order. There's an order to everything. We're very familiar with making brachas. There's also an order. You know, you have food in front of you. There has to be the knowledge that there is an order. You know, you have in front of you mizonos. Comes before you're making a shahako. Mizonos comes before ha'etz, and then ha'etz and adama. Then you have the order of the shivas haminim. All this is an order. The Torah is so specific. Everything's within order. I know it used to be in Europe, somebody would like to test a future son-in-law to see if he's really a Talmud Chacham. He would put a table with all different kinds of foods in front of him. Mizonos, shahakol, shivas haminim, different kinds of food, then the future father-in-law would be watching carefully what he would eat first. Where would he make the bracha on what first? And that was almost like a test to see if he's really on the ball. Everything, all our mitzvahs, everything has an order. We call our siddur a siddur, our prayer book a siddur. Why? Because there's a seder. There's an order to the davening. There's first tefillah shacharis. We daven the morning tefillah, then tefillah mincha, and then at night tefillah arvis. Everything has an order. And therefore, likewise, building the Mishkan was also built precisely with a seder, with an order. And the Torah wants to impress upon us, as the Sipurna is mentioning to us, it was Kei Nasu. They all did it. They all did it precisely with the right kavana, and they did it in the right order. There was no confusion. It was done exactly the way they were told. And you understand, when Mishkan was created, built with the right kavana, with the right order, by the people who were the people who put their heart and their soul into building the Mishkan, it was no wonder that the Shekhinah, the holiness of the Almighty, rested in the Mishkan, top of the Aron, and it was fitting for the Mishkan. If you remember last week's shiur, we mentioned about the Mishkan was that atoned for the Egel HaZav, atoned the Jewish people for the Egel HaZav. Now, having said all this, how important it is that we do things in the right order and that we live our lives with a Seder, that we do things with plan and purpose, not necessarily doing things haphazardly. Very often when we do things haphazardly and we do things in confusion, so we make mistakes. And very often mistakes are not easily corrected. Sometimes they can't be corrected at all. But the Torah is impressing upon us the necessity to be organized, to do things with a Seder. And the Sephorna wants to make it clear to us that when Bezalel went ahead and put together the Mishkan, everything was done in the right order. As I'm going to be quoting from the Sefer Be'er Mechokek, that when a person does something properly, right, then the outcome is ultimately what we are looking for. Let me quote the following. The people who went and did Nisios Libam, they went ahead and they worked with their heart and soul. They did exactly what they were told. It says the following. Me'acha shebetoch nafsham surava. And then since they have done the work with their soul, surava, shalva, umenucha, that then rested upon them peacefulness, calmness, and tranquility. V'chol inyoneihem hayu mesudarim b'seder nifla, and all of their things that they have worked upon were organized in an awesomely organized manner. Al kein, therefore, tivam v'nitiyasam. For hitim b'diuk im tzviyov shel Hashem. Therefore, their work was congruent and exact as exact of the tzviyov shel Hashem, that which was commanded by Hashem, because they've done it with the right heart and with the right intentions. They've done it exactly the way Hashem wanted it. And this is something that we have to walk away with. Later, we are familiar how careful the Torah is about doing things in a Seder. In the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar, in Parshas Bamidbar, the Parsha talks about the order of the Jewish people's arrangement. They were arranged in Dalet Machnos. They were arranged in four camps. And the four camps had, each of them, degolim, had flags to designate where each camp was. The four camps comprised of the 12 Shvatim. Each of the camps had three Shvatim. And they had flags to designate where each of the Shvatim resided. This is all part and parcel of being organized. Could you imagine being in the desert, in the wilderness, and having no order and no way of keeping each other connected? That would be chaos. No, the Torah tells us when they went into the desert, they had four camps with four flags. And each flag had three different colors, the color of the Choshen, that each shaven had a different colored stone. And each one identified himself with that color. If somebody was lost, they would know exactly how to get back to his place. The Jewish people, in a place that should have been a place of chaos, was a place of peace, tranquility, and organization. How come? Because the Torah cannot be lived and taught where there is no Seder, when there is no order. And that is clearly how the Jewish people lived in the desert at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. So we know being Mesudah is something so, so important. I remember a story. I'm not sure if it's quoted the Alter from Kelim, where the Alter from Kelim came to visit his son in yeshiva. And this was already a time when yeshivas had a dormitory, a place for children to sleep in the yeshiva. And he went to the Rosh Yeshiva. He says, "I'd like to go see my son. I want to see how my son is doing. Could you please tell me where his stender, his stand where he puts his siddur on, and the little cubby where he puts his tefillin on? Show me where he davens." So Rosh Yeshiva says, sure, this is where he davened. He showed him in the base of Medrash, this is where he davened. And the Rosh Yeshiva was sure he would wanted to ask him to escort him to his son. But then the father said, the ultimate caliph said, no, I want to see his dormitory room. Rosh Yeshiva was a little surprised. Do you want to see his room? Don't you want to see your son? No, I want to see his room. Well, after he saw his shtender, everything was put in its right place. The siddur was put where it belongs, and the tefillin was put on top of that, and the chumash was put where it had to be. Then he went into the room. And there he sees a neat bed. He sees his son's clothing is hung up. Everything was put in its right order. So this is fantastic. As the story goes, and I'm not 100% sure if this is the way it went, he says, okay, I'm going home. The Rosh Yeshiva said, I don't understand. Didn't you want to come and see your son? He says, no. I wanted to see how my son is doing. My son is doing great. I see he's organized. That means if he's organized, his mind is organized. If his mind is organized, then he's learning well. And that was the truth. Dalton Combs' son was doing very well. So whether the story ends off that he didn't see his son or he did see his son, I am not sure. But the concept of being organized is so very, very important. I once heard a very interesting mashal about how important it is for a person to be organized. What does it mean to be have an organized mind? What does that mean? Once I was explained, I'm not sure if this is a mashal from Rav Simcha Wasserman to tell, but it's a beautiful mashal nonetheless. If you take, for example, a library. When you have a library, you go inside in the library, and there are shelves with books, and there's rows and categories and divisions and places. One section is for math, one section is for science, the other section is for biography, and this is autobiography, and this is for cooking, and this is for astronomy. Everything has a place. In comes a truck, and this truck is full of 1,000 books, and the librarian gives the man notice he can put the books in this corner. And the librarian will tell her assistants where to put everything. What happened was that when that truck came in and unloaded all of those books, they put a truckload of knowledge put into various sections of the library. The book in math went to the math. What's on the astronomy went to the astronomy. The cooking went into the cooking. Those went into sewing went to the sewing. Every book had its place. It was the truck unloaded was a truck full of knowledge. But what would have happened if the library was disorganized? And where their math books was cooking, and with cooking there was hardware, and with the hardware books was astronomy, and with the astronomy there was books about astrology. Every section had a mixture of different books. Well, when the truck would unload its book load, instead of unloading a book of knowledge, a truckload of knowledge, it unloaded a truckload of confusion, because all that added to that library was confusion. The human mind is like a library. If a person is organized and he has peace of mind what he's doing and when he's doing things, then the information that he gets, whenever he gets to him, goes into a category, goes into a place. He's organized. He puts things where they belong. Everything has a place. He is settled. He knows what he's going to do at this time. If he has a phone call, he can say, I'm sorry, I can't take the phone call now. I'm busy. He doesn't have to take every phone call that he gets. I'm sorry. He says to the person on the phone, I can't take your phone now. I'll call you later, or call me in a half hour. Everybody who has a chance to be organized makes his life so much easier. There's a place for everything. Everything has a place. If a person is disorganized, then whatever he puts into his mind is put into a state of confusion, because everything is mishmash. Everything is all over the place. It may be important, but important things get mixed up with non-important things, and people get tense, people become anxious, people become unhappy, and sometimes not well, because they become overly troubled by being anxious and overworked, because they're not organized. I remember my Rosh Hashiva is Rebbe, when he came from Europe, that was like his last time going back to Europe, because when he came to America, he didn't come back, because that's when he discovered that his family was killed by the Germans in Europe. But the story goes that when he came to the hotel, what I think was the Broadway Central Hotel up in Manhattan, he didn't want to speak to anybody until he unloaded his suitcase. He put everything into his drawers, his clothing, his socks, his underwear, books. He had everything. He unloaded his bags, and now everything was put away. He was at peace of mind, and he would accept people, talk to people, or phone calls, and so on. Being organized is the message of this week's parsha. This week's parsha talks about Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur, this holy Jew who was the engineer, the supervisor of building the Mishkan, had to be super organized. And because he was organized, he was able to perceive for Moshe Rabbeinu, after being told by Moshe Rabbeinu to first make the Aron, to understand that that is not what Hashem told him first. He understood being beseder, being organized, is first make a building. Let's find a place where to put the Aron. Let's find a place where to put the Shulchan, where we have to put the menorah. We need a place. You just don't leave it in the middle of the desert. He understood that. He understood that a Jew has to be mesudar, has to be organized. A Jew has to be organized to be Oved Hashem, like I mentioned so many examples before. The Torah is full of mitzvahs that require seder, that require organization. And therefore, let us conclude this week's parsha by understanding that because the Mishkan was made with such a seder that it's mentioned so many times, Kashiv Hashem es Moshe, that the Jewish people, Kain Asu, so they've done it. They've done it in an organized way. It was the way that it permitted the Shekhinah, the holiness of Hashem, to rest in the Mishkan. And this is such a wonderful a role model to us, that if we do things with a Seder, we do things with a proper order, where Avodas Hashem has the semblance of order, we come to on time to davening, we do lighting the menorah on time on Hanukkah, we light our Shabbos candles properly on time. All of these things are done on time, then we're guaranteed that our homes will hopefully be that Mishkan, that holy abode, where we say, "V'asuli Migdash v'shachanti b'socha," where Hashem says, make for me a sanctuary so I can rest amidst them, will apply to your home and my home. Because if we do the mitzvahs, b'seder, we will be privileged to have the Shekhinah on whatever level possible to rest in our home. May we all have a wonderful week. Learn from the example of this parsha, and we should be able to be privileged to a wonderful Chodesh and a wonderful Shabbos. Our good Shabbos. Kol Tov.